اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الظاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
On the subject of insan and iman, we are in our 14th speech. And we see that we have went through certain subjects from the start, and I want you to remember the line of thought as we are trying to learn about this chapter that Allah has revealed. And it starts with the fact that Allah has kept two subjects. One He termed as a loss and failure, the other He said is a success. And the subject of loss is insan, and the subject of success is iman. Insan is in loss until he becomes a mu'min and acquires iman. The height of insan, the height of humanity is failure, and the beginning of iman is success. And from there you see that it goes on to the fact that what are the things that become an obstacle for us to become a mu'min. And we went through the five things that become an obstacle for an individual to acquire iman. And now we need to see what are the effects of iman. What effect does iman have on a person and a mu'min? And hence, here we see that a lot of times, whenever Allah speaks of iman, He speaks of it in relationship to Allah and Akhirat. Every places you see where Allah, He speaks of iman, He speaks of iman billah and iman bil akhirat, bil yawm al akhirat. That one should have iman in Allah and iman on the day of judgment. And everywhere we see that these two are mentioned together in relationship to iman. So when we read it, it seems that iman is in these two things, Allah and akhirat. So when we see that this is the case, doubts are raised and issues are raised regarding the fact of the other things that we should have faith in. Because every time Allah is mentioning iman, He says, that you have iman in Allah and akhirat. And we see that the mention of risalat, prophethood, is not mentioned, or imamat is not mentioned. And hence, some people might get the idea that Allah is only asking us to believe in Allah and the akhirat. If He wanted us to believe in prophethood, then He would have explained it outright and He would have made it obvious. There are those Muslims who raise the issue and say this, that if this is the case, that Allah is always mentioning Allah and Akhirat in relationship to Iman, why are you emphasizing Imamat then? If Allah wanted us to believe in Imamat, He would have explained it outright. Right? He would have made it obvious to us. But we see that every place Allah mentions Iman, He's saying these two things. This is an issue that is raised amongst Muslims. Now amongst those who are non-Muslims, they also have an issue with this. And they say that, well, Allah is saying that you should have Iman in Allah and Akhirat. If Iman in Allah and Akhirat are the only things, then we also accept God, we also accept the Day of Judgment. Why is it that we are condemned? Why is it that we are condemned? Why is it that we are excluded? And that too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks out in the Quran and says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلًا صَالِحًا. That those who have Iman, these are Muslims, and those who are Jews and Christians and star worshippers, whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment and does good deeds, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. So their ajr, their reward is with Allah. So their reward is with Allah. So in other words, if Allah is saying that if these people believe in Allah and the Akhirat, and they will be rewarded by Allah, and they have nothing to be afraid of, so why are you saying that you must accept Imamat, you must accept Rasulullah in order to become a Muslim or to have reward in the Akhirat? You see this? I want you to first understand the issues that are being raised, and then inshallah we will see what the answer is. So on one side you have Muslims who want to exclude the aqeedah of Nabuwat and Imamat from Usul al-Din. They say that Allah mentions Allah in Akhirat. How about Nabuwat and Imamat? If it was necessary, you should have mentioned that. And on the other hand, we have those people who want to include these outsiders in Islam and say, you know what, they are also Muslims as long as they believe in Allah and the Akhirat and do good deeds. And they are also doing good deeds, and they do a lot more good deeds than a lot of Muslims do. There's no need to deny that. So in the fact is that, why are you excluding them? So these are two things, and first we will answer the Muslims, and then we will go on to those who are non-Muslims. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
When you look at the Muslims, and when you look at the way of the Muslims and how they learn and how they study and how they acquire knowledge, you will see that they have a habit, and this habit is so much exercised and implemented that it has become their way of life, that whenever a Muslim becomes interested in Islam, He starts to read Allah's book. He reads an ayat. He understands something from it. When he understands something from it, he bases his whole ideology and faith on that one ayat and says, you see, the Quran says this. This is what the Quran says. And he builds his whole iman, his whole ideology, his whole beliefs on that one ayat he read and what he understood from it. And I want you to understand this disease that exists amongst Muslims. So you know, a lot of times you see these people, we read one ayat of the Quran, we say, you see, Allah says this about this issue, about this subject. And we see that amongst the Muslims, that they read one ayat of the Quran and they base the whole subject, they say, this is Allah's view about this subject. And I'll give you some examples so you understand exactly what I'm saying. For example, an individual opens the Quran, he opens the Quran up, and he's at the ending, he says, you know, I don't want to start off in the beginning, because usually the beginning have those big chapters, you know, where you don't want to start reading them because you know you'll never end them. So usually, you know, when you're opening the Quran, you say, let's go back to the end. So he opens the ending of the book, and he starts to read, and there he says, he reads one ayat from a small chapter, and that ayat says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. He says, woe upon those people who pray. Lanat on those people who pray. So now he says, Allahu Akbar.
No more praying.
Allah's view of the Quran. Now you ask about prayer. Allah says, don't pray. He says, lanat on those who pray. Allah says, waylun lil musallin. Look at it in the Quran. And he's not lying also. It's in the Quran. There's an ayat in the Quran. He read that ayat. And now you see, he bases his whole iman on the position of what is salat, on what this one ayat. He bases the whole thing on that. And you see, now the view of salat that you have, what is the view of salat? The view of salat is that you shouldn't pray it. Why? Because Allah sends lanat on those people who do. And this is the exact reasoning that also intelligent people like Yazid used. He used the same reasoning in his court, but he used to make jokes about Islam. So he says, don't you see where Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. And obviously his yes men were there, they're saying, that's right. Because if they said anything else, they knew what would happen to them. So he said that. So now what happened is that this one ayat you read, you have a whole view of what is salat in that one ayat. You base your whole ideology on that. When you base your whole ideology on that, then what happens? You end up having the wrong Islam in your heart. Wrong understanding. You say this is knowledge, but it is not. Now you see, this is one example I gave you that is for you to see. But there are real examples of this, and you see this, how these real examples are. You open the Quran, you say, and you look at one ayat, and that one ayat, you read that meat is halal for you as long as no other name than Allah has been taken on it. You see that? Now they say, you see, if you don't take any other name other than Allah's name, right, it means it's halal for you. So, this means whatever animal is halal for you, you say Bismillah and you eat it. He read one ayat of the Quran and now he became an expert on that subject. Now he has seen what the Quran has said. And when you ask them, what do you mean? He says, look at this ayat, it is clear. Yes, at that time only this ayat is clear and the other 6,000 are obscure. Only that ayat is clear, because you have understood something from it, and so because it goes to your interest. So now what happens? That is clear what you understood. The other 6,600 ayat that are in the Quran, they have no sense now. Now you see, one ayat you read from it, and what happens? After one ayat, you have become an expert on that. This mistake that we make of just knowing one ayat of the Quran and trying to give it the whole ideology of the Quran regarding that subject. This is a mistake that Muslims make when they read the Quran. They should read the Quran as an advice for themselves. But the law of Islam is not deciphered by those people who are just reading the Quran for advice. This is the reason that if you want to know, and this is also one of the lacking we have, and this was mentioned by Ayatollah Sadr, who was one of the great ulama of our time, and he became shaheed in Iraq. He mentioned this, the fact that one of the things that we lack, one of the works that we don't have in Islam, is we have a lot of tafsir of the Quran. A lot of tafsir of the Quran we have. You know, there's one CD that has 80 tafasir in it. In our office, if you go there, you'll have about 40 tafsir in there. You see, there are many tafsir on the Quran, but most of the tafsir are explanation of the ayat of the Quran. So you want to see an ayat, you go to the ayat and you see what it means. But there is another way to do tafsir, and that is to do an explanation of the Quran according to the subject and issues. Meaning you take one issue, and you take that one issue and you write an explanation on the Quran of all the places that are mentioned in the Quran regarding that issue. When you do an explanation like that, then you have a view of the Quran that includes everything. Just by reading one ayat of the Quran, there's no way that you can reach any conclusion of what the Quran says. This is something that we must put in our mind. Let me explain this more if you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's another place, as we mentioned, there's another place we see someone reading and they read an ayat about khamr. Khamr is wine. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in wine there is some good, there's some evil. So now they say, manafi'un linnas. It means, manafi'un linnas means there is benefit for mankind. You see, Allah says there's benefit. So when Allah says there's benefit, so alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So now what happens? You see, understand how this issue is working. You read one ayat of the Quran and you base your whole ideology regarding that. All the other places that the Quran mentions about the ayat, about that issue, you don't read them. And now, let me go one step further. Until now you understood this much. This is the reason. If someone can do tafsir and give a law of the Quran and is able to tell us what the Quran says, is that person who has the whole Quran in his eyes. The person who has the whole Quran in his eyes, that is the only person who is able to do tafsir of the Quran. This is the reason we do not go to X, Y, and Z to know what does the Quran say or what is the tafsir of the Quran. The only people we trust in the Quran and to explain the Quran to us are Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Hare Hadi.
This is the reason, because Ahlul Bayt are the only one who have a complete view of the Quran. What does Allah want to say? What does he mean by this? This is the reason when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he, and you heard this many times, but just you understand from this introduction I gave you, that he had said, ask me about Allah's book. I know the meanings behind the ayat. I know where all the ayat were revealed. I know where every ayat came from. I know who was that ayat about. What was that ayat about? Why was that ayat revealed? Ask me everything you need to know about the Quran. I will answer you. I will make sure that you understand it. Why did he say that? To let us know that when he was explaining the Quran, he is not just reading one ayat and saying, okay, this is what it means. This is the meaning of that. No, to Imam Ali, he is looking at the whole thing. And then he's explaining. But you see, one other thing I want to add here so that you understand this better. You see, there are those people who know, for example, who are alims, and they know the Quran. They know the Quran. They have the verses in their minds. They know the Quran. They might know the whole Quran also. But you see, what happens with them? When you go and ask them about an issue, then maybe one ayat might come to their mind and the other ayat might not come to his mind at that time. And he might answer you according to the one ayat that he does remember. Understand what I'm saying? And those who know, inshallah, will understand this better. An alim, he will be an individual who knows the Quran, but when you ask him an issue, maybe one ayat comes, and about that issue there might be 8-10 other ayat. He might remember 2, 3, 4 of them. The others might slip from his mind. The others might not be in his mind at one time. And for you to make a judgment, for you to know exactly what is the issue in the Quran, you must know all the ayat at one time. You must remember all the ayat together. This is the reason Allah did not say, ask those who know. Understand? Allah did not say, fashalu ahlul ilm. He did not say, ask those who know. If he had said, ask those who know, those who are alim, those who know might remember it, might not remember it. That's why he says, fashalu ahlul dhikr. He said, ask those people who remember the Quran. So that those people who remember the Quran, they are not able to, in their mind, the ayat are not able to slip from their mind. But those who know, they might remember the ayat, they might not remember the ayat. This is the reason Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, ask أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, because أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ cannot forget the ayat of the Quran. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Amen. Understand this, my brothers and sisters, how this is playing out. What is this mean? Allah, His words and His eloquence in the Quran. You see, Ahlul Ilm are one thing. Ahlul Ilm, for example, those people who know. Those people who have ilm. For example, you call me an alim. I call someone else an alim. There was one alim who was a very great alim by the name of Allama Abatabai. He is the one, as everyone knows, who wrote the tafsir of the Quran, Al-Mizan. And right now, this is regarded as the most excellent tafsir. And they use that as the standard for all tafsir, all explanation. He was known for his ilm and knowledge. One day, after the masjid, he was walking back home. someone wanted to ask him a question. Someone came to him and says, Agha, Haja Agha, I have a question. Allama says, all right, go ahead, ask the question. That's the question. And he asked him the question. He says, well, Allah, what, you know, I mean, this thing, you know, what's the answer to that? Now, Allama says, I don't know. Now, the guy said, all right, if you don't know that, well, how about this? He said, I don't know. Now, you see this. This Allama Tabartabai, you know. Now, everyone looks up to him for knowledge. And this person is asking him, this question, that question, and some other questions went by, and every question he was saying, I don't know. He says, Allama, listen, you are saying you don't know, and I also don't know. So if we both don't know, why are you Allama and why am I not? I mean, if you don't know and I don't know, why are you called Allama and why am I not? And you see this. Allama said to him, listen, I don't know, but when you ask me the question, I'm able to go and know where the answer is. You don't know, but you don't know where to even look also for the answer. You see that? That's the difference between an alim and a jahil. Alim is not alim all the time. But alim is someone that if you ask him a question, he doesn't know it, he knows where to look for the answer. He knows where to look for the answer. A jahil is not someone who has a question and the only way he can answer the question if he asks an alim. So now you see, this Allama, who is the best explainer of the Quran, who has explained the Quran in the best way, that right now everyone uses his tafsir in order to explain the Quran, in order to do anything. This Allama Tabatabai, he is saying, I don't know. So it means that he has the knowledge of Quran, but that knowledge is not apparent in his mind all the time. It is not apparent in his mind all the time. This is the reason why Allah did not say, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ. Ask those who know. If he had said, ask those who know can remember. They might not remember. But when he said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ, these are people who not only know, but the ilm of the Quran is also transparent in their mind every moment.
Yes.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Haidari.
Ya Ali.
And this is the reason why we see also that when Allah says fas'alu ahla dhikr, ask those who have the memory of the Quran. Dhikr, remember, it means to remember. Dhikr means to remember. And now when we look at it, Allah, when He revealed the Quran, what did He say? What word did He use for the Quran? He says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That we are the ones who have revealed the dhikr to you. We are the ones who have revealed the dhikr to you, and we are the ones who will protect it. So dhikr is the name of the Quran, and those who know the Quran, they are the ones who are known as Ahlul Dhikr. This is the reason why we see that Allah's eloquence, when we read the Quran, we should also see the eloquence and how Allah speaks, so that we know who the Quran is. So we see, this is a mistake that Muslims make all the time, that they read one ayat of the Quran, and they base their whole ideology on that one ayat. And if you want the real meaning of the Quran, you must ask those people who have the complete knowledge of the Quran in their mind. That's the only way we are able to get the true meaning of the Quran. And now, when we see that, now we will see from the other hand. Now we will see from the other hand, where does Allah speak about the ideology that He intended for us to accept. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Allah mentions what? He mentions to you that have iman billah wa iman bil yawm al akhir. Have iman in Allah and akhirat. Have iman in Allah and akhirat. Now, in Nisa, he mentions. And I want to read this from the Quran so you see it yourself. He mentions, and first he takes an oath. He takes an oath on who? On his own self. See this. When something is really important, then only Allah takes an oath on himself. Meaning, he takes an oath on the moon and sky and these things also. But when there's an issue that is so important, there he says, Ala wa rabbika, I swear by your Rabb, Muhammad. I swear by your Rabb, O Muhammad. By your Lord, I swear. Right? I swear. Right? And what did he say? La yu'minuna. They have not become mu'min. They said La ilaha illallah. They accepted akhirat. But Allah is saying they have not become mu'min. I swear by your Lord, by myself, they have not become mu'min. Hatta yuhkimuka fima shajara bainahum. Until they make you a judge between the things that they differed.
Yes.
Until they make you the judge and make you to judge between those things that they have issues with. So whatever issues they have, meaning these Muslims, whenever they have issues and ikhtilaf and differences, or whatever issues, they must make you the judge. They must make you the judge between the things that they differed in. And when you are the judge, and when you do become the judge, then what? ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. After that, when you judge between them, and when you judge on an issue, when you tell them about an issue, they should not have dissent in their hearts. See this. Until then, they're not mu'min. Until then, they haven't accepted iman. They might say Allah and akhirat. But until they make you the judge, and when you judge between them, then they should not have any dissatisfaction with your ruling. They should not be displeased with your ruling. Now what does this mean? Understand this. What does this mean? If I give an example, you'll understand it. You see, I tell you that, listen, Allah says, you know, I tell you, it's wajib to do this. You know, it's wajib to do this. It's haram to do this. You say, yeah, yeah, so what, you know? I don't think so. Whatever the case is, I don't accept it from you. You know, I don't accept it from you. So I said, listen, Rasulullah said that it's wajib. I say, Rasulullah said that it's wajib. You say, well, if he said it, then okay, inshallah, I will accept it. You see that? If he said it, all right, you know, then we might have to accept. We'll have to accept it. We'll have to accept because he said it. You see this? This attitude of we'll have to accept it if he said it, this is what? This is called dissension. This is called dissension. This is called dissatisfaction. What he has said about an issue, you are not happy with it. You are not pleased with it. So what happens? What do you say? Well, you know, we'll have to do it if he said so. If he said so, we'll have to do it. No, if this is the case, then those people are not mu'min yet. See what Allah is saying. I swear by myself, they are not mu'min. If you ruled amongst them and the ruling you gave on that issue, they are not happy with that issue. So in that case, you will see that those people are not mu'min. Why? Because they're not happy with what you ruled amongst them. So now if this is the case, what should be the answer? What should be the way that we accept it? He said that those people, they should not have haraj. They should not be displeased with what you said. But what should they do? He says, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. They should accept it in a way that they completely submit to it.
Yes.
That they completely submit to it. That they should be happy with what you say. That if Rasulullah said this, then it means we have to submit ourselves to it. This is what it is right. This is what is right. This is how you should practice it. So in other words, my brothers and sisters, we see Allah says that if you accept Allah and the Akhirat, but you don't accept Rasulullah, if you don't accept the Messenger of Allah, then you haven't accepted Allah yet.
Yes.
Not only do you need to accept Him, but you need to be satisfied with everything He gives you. Subhanallah. Yeah. See, understand this, my brothers, what Allah is saying. You must be completely happy with what Allah gives you. If you're not happy with what Allah gives you, then you haven't become a mu'min yet. You haven't become a mu'min yet until you are completely satisfied with what Allah gives you. This is the way Allah speaks of it, so that we understand. We understand from it that no, if you want to know what is right and wrong, then the Allah speaks of Nabuwat in the Quran. Allah in Akhirat. This is something I'm mentioning. I'll explain this more. But now when we come to Imamat and say, okay, that is Nabuwat. Where's Imamat? Right? That's Nabuwat. Where's Imamat now? You know, a lot of times what happens, right, is that the way these people talk, you know, they always look for loopholes or excuses, and they go and they hit one branch, and they see it's not falling down, they hit another branch, they hit another branch, and they keep on going until they get tired and they go away. This one person also asked me, a long time ago, I remember, he says, you know, Quran is enough for us. You don't need anything else from the Quran. So I said, are you sure about this? Are you sure the Quran is enough? Understand this. Are you sure the Quran is enough for us? So we see, and so he said, yes, it's enough for us. Then I said, I want to make sure that you understand what you're saying. Are you sure? Are you sure if the Quran is enough for us? He said, yes. Because when you ask them two times, you know, they get a little bit hesitant and nervous, you know. Of course, he up to now. He might ask a quick question. But I want to make sure that he knows what he's talking about. So when he said yes, I said, all right. Let's say you have the Quran, right? And you say this is enough. And you have a child. And you leave that Quran and the child on an island. That child grows up with the Quran. That's the only thing he knows. He grows up with the Quran. Tell me, how much is he going to learn from that Quran? Tell me, how much is he going to learn from that Quran? You know, and then he thought, well, you know, like, it is enough, but it also needs a teacher. So I said, you know, my case is closed. I don't need to argue anymore. So the Quran is not enough. You need a teacher for it also. So a lot of times they make arguments without even understanding what they're saying. And we need to really see what they're saying. This is the reason we don't make up our own mind in Islam. We don't take one ayat and make up our mind. And now, when you see Rasulullah, if we want to know anything of Islam, about any issue, then Allah is saying in the Quran, you ask Rasulullah to be a judge and let him tell you about that issue. If there's any difference of opinion in the Ummah regarding an issue, then who do you go to? You go to Rasulullah. Allah says that in the ayat I just read. That you make him the judge and you say, you tell us what is the right way. You tell us what is the best way. You tell us what does the Psalm say. You tell us what does Quran say. You tell us what does Allah say. So, and we see any issue that there is a difference of opinion, then you have to go through that. And there is no issue in the Muslim Ummah where we differ amongst ourselves more than the issue of Imamat. More than the issue of leadership. More than the issue of leadership. So now if we want an answer, if we want to settle this issue, if we want to judge among this issue, who are we going to appoint? Who are we going to appoint? We are going to ask him that you tell us about this issue. And now when he gave a judgment, when he gave a judgment, he did not give the judgment in hiding. He gave it in public. When he gave the judgment, he didn't give it in a closed house. He gave it in an open field. When he gave the judgment, he did not give it amongst a few. He gave it amongst the whole ummah. And he said, "Man kuntu maula fahada aliyun maula. Accept Ali as your maula." That is the only leadership in Islam. Now, my brother, all I will say over here, let me read this ayah to you again. You say, whenever there's a difference of opinion, you ask who? Rasulullah. Let him judge. So when he gave his judgment, then what does it say? Those who are not satisfied. Those who are not happy with the ruling are what? They are not mu'min. Only those people can be called mu'min who are happy with the judgment that Rasulullah gave. See that, my brother. See how we have made it clear. Tomorrow, inshallah, I will go on from here to explain more about this issue and about what the other non-Muslims say, that why are we excluded from Jannah. So, inshallah, we will also answer them. We'll give a reply to them also tomorrow, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. To give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. To hasten the reappearance of our imam. To make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.